The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 18th Chapter, text number 12, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on March 10, 1993, at the Boston Temple.
Translation. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? Purport. As explained in the next verse, Krishna is the original source of all living entities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, wherein Krishna says, Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastaninjiyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. When one engages himself in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, one's heart becomes purified, and he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. In the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, there is a description of some of the qualities of devotees. For example, Sri Pandit Haridas is described as being very well behaved, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, and grave. In addition, he spoke very sweetly. His endeavors were very pleasing. He was always patient. He respected everyone. He always worked for everyone's benefit. His mind was free of duplicity, and he was completely devoid of all malicious activities. These are all originally qualities of Krishna, and when one becomes a devotee, they automatically become manifest. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that all good qualities become manifest in the body of a Vaishnava, and that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. Krishnadas Kaviraj lists the following 26 good qualities of a Vaishnava. 1. He is very kind to everyone. 2. He does not make anyone his enemy. 3. He is truthful. 4. He is equal to everyone. 5. No one can find any fault in him. 6. He is magnanimous. 7. He is mild. 8. He is always clean. 9. He is without possessions. 10. He works for everyone's benefit. 11. He is very peaceful. 12. He is always surrendered to Krishna. 13. He has no material desires. 14. He is very meek. 15. He is steady. 16. He controls his senses. 17. He does not eat more than required. 18. He is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. 19. He offers respects to everyone. 20. He does not desire any respect for himself. 21, he is very grave. 22, he is merciful. 23, he is friendly. 24, he is poetic. 25, he is expert. And 26, he is silent. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pastitani Satani. This is a very well-known verse, and Prabhupada quoted it often. All good qualities manifest in the devotees. I described this also in a book, Vaishnava Behavior, by referring to statement that Lord Chaitanya made about the behavior of devotees. When Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan in Mathura, he met a Brahmin who it turned out was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Chaitanya and he, they exchanged spontaneous ecstasy of love of Krishna and recognized each other that you must be a follower of Madhavendra Puri. How else could you manifest such ecstasy? So then Lord Chaitanya praised Madhavendra Puri. And he said, Dharma stapana hetu sadhur vyavahar puri gosari ye acharana se dharma sar. A devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. The behavior of Madhavendra Puri Goswami is the essence of such religious principles. This is a very important verse, and it's connected to this verse that we're speaking today about the devotee having good qualities. So it's not only fortunate for him, and it's not only necessary for him or her, that they have good qualities in order to be a devotee, but the good qualities of the devotee prove the validity of the religion, our religious principles. It's the most important evidence of the truth of Dharma. So then, after Lord Chaitanya quoted or spoke this appreciation of Madhavendra Puri, he quoted a verse from Mahabharata. Tarako pratishta shutayo vibhina nasha vishir yasya matam nadbinam dharma sitatvam nihitam guhayam hajana yenigata upanta. So this follows this thought further, that the devotee is the repository of truth. So this verse, Tarko Pratista, it starts off saying other sources of knowledge, and it declares that these are not the repository of the absolute truth. So the first mention is use of logic. Although use of logic is done in a way that contributes to Krishna conscious discussion, but by logic itself you cannot arrive at the absolute truth. If you think you do by some logical argument, then that may stand for some time, but then someone may come in with another logical construction, first of all destroying yours by finding some fault, and then what happened to your truth? It's superseded by the new logic. Tarko Patista Shruti Yavibina. And then he says, even the Shruti or even the Vedas cannot give us the absolute truth. And that is because they're not so accessible. They're very voluminous, they're very grave in their meanings, and they sometimes appear contradictory. So who can understand the truth just by studying scripture? And then, similar to logic, is to follow different philosophers, speculative philosophers. So he points out why that's not possible. And then dharma sitatvam nihitam guhayam. The absolute truth is to be found in the heart of a self-realized soul. Therefore, we should follow the Mahajans, or the great persons. So from the devotee, you get all the religious principles. You get the Vedas, you get logic, and you get the living truth, which is not just theoretical. And a devotee is one who has these qualities in him. As Prabhupada says in the purport today, that only by the presence of these good qualities can one distinguish a Vaishnava from a non-Vaishnava. Vaishnava is not by birth or by caste that you're a Vaishnava. Sometimes somebody may say that. If you're born into a family where for many generations they worship Krishna or Rama, that doesn't mean you're a Vaishnava. But it's a very advanced stage of spiritual life in which many qualities come out. When we find not just one, but numbers of devotees who demonstrate these truths, then you have a religious movement or you have a religion. Even one or two can make a great difference in the world. And the opposite is also true, that if those who profess to be religionists or Krishna conscious persons or God conscious persons, if they don't have good qualities, rather they have bad qualities or they're cheating, then that's not only bad for them, but it's bad for the repute of religion. And the skeptical people become very happy to point that out, that this is hypocrisy. The religionists are hypocrites. And therefore, because religion resides in the devotee, when hypocrisy resides in the professional devotee or so-called devotee, it casts doubt on the truth itself. That's a very great wrong then for those who claim to be devotees, to misrepresent. Prabhupada writes in one purport about the duties of the different ashrams. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. If a Brahmin is not truthful, all his claims as a Brahmin at once become null and void. If a sannyas is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once become false. Similarly, if a king and the public leader are unnecessarily proud or habituated to drinking or smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities. Truthfulness is the basic principle for all religion. The four leaders of the human society, sannyasis, Brahmins, kings, and public leaders, must be tested crucially by their character and qualifications. So academic qualifications or wealth and so on are not the qualification. Now, looking at the purport, an example is given of a devotee named Sri Pandit Haridas, and he has certain qualities. Actually, is described there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the 50 qualities of Krishna were all in his body or in his person. Krishna has unlimited qualities, but in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has listed 64 qualities. And he describes that out of these, the first 50, they can also be had by any individual soul or jiva, which makes 78% of Krishna's total 64 qualities can develop in a human being. And so this Sri Pandit Haridas, they were all present in him. Of course, they're not present in an infinite degree as they are in Krishna, but in a small portion. And in this verse we read today, Prabhupada quoted, Maimai Vamso Jiva Loka. This means that every individual tiny soul is an eternal part of Krishna. That's why we can have the same qualities, because originally we are part and parcel of Krishna. We're eternal souls. He's eternal soul. So we have, in a small degree, all these very wonderful qualities that Krishna has. But mostly they're covered up now in our conditioned state. So he had these qualities, Haridas, Pandit Haridas. Then Prabhupada lists the 26 qualities of a devotee. I also once compiled different information about the 26 qualities. And at the beginning of that, I made the point that these qualities don't have to be developed one and then another and then another and another as we try to become a devotee. It's not that we have to do like that. I remember visiting a Christian monastery in Belgium, and where the monks lived, it was a very old place, so this had been for many centuries. One monk lived in one room, and over each door there was a virtue or a quality, a humility, obedience, something like that. So one would be assigned to a particular room. And then he said, actually, we change rooms. Or we used, they used to, now we don't anymore. It's not, they have all their books and all their paraphernalia. They're not going to move every week. But when it used to be, in the old days, they didn't have any possessions. They're more detached. So they would move every week. And while you were in one room, it was like, now this is my week for really developing humility. So there can be such a kind of meditation and practice. But by devotional service itself, automatically all these qualities develop. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one verse in the sixth canto which states many of the qualities that should be developed by everyone, like celibacy and cleanliness, austerity, and so on. But then after that verse, the next one is Kechit Kevalya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agham Kunvanti Karshnaya Ihara Iva Bhaskara. And this verse means that the one quality of the sun dissipates fog wholesale. And similarly, one activity of life, namely bhakti, brings about the all good qualities and removal of darkness. And in another list, there's a list of qualities. There are many lists of good qualities. And there's one in the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, verses 8 to 12, starts off with humility, amanitam. And in the purport there, Prabhupada points out one of them, which is Krishna Sharanam, to be surrendered to Krishna. He says, this is the real one. This is the most important one. And if you develop this one, then all the others will come. And if you don't develop this one, then the other ones are not of much importance. Similarly, in the 26 qualities of devotees, one is 12. He's always surrendered to Krishna. So if you have that, then everything will follow. But then the question may be raised, well, why all these lists then? I address this in the introduction to 26 qualities of a devotee. One reason is to show us the richness of the Vaishnava's character. It is glorification of the Vaishnava. Another reason is that we can see whether we are developing these qualities. Regarding the Bhagavad Gita's 20 items of knowledge, Srila Prabhupada writes, as for advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. So, not only for those who are devotees, but this is our teaching for the whole world, that people should develop these qualities. These are Vaishnava qualities. They're very important. Not the qualities that the materialists hold as near and dear to them, starting with how much, it's like on a nation basis, how much money you have, how much military strength you have, and individually, the qualities that are that make you get ahead in the world are more like the qualities in the 16th chapter, the demoniac qualities. So we want to talk about these qualities as they appear in devotees, so that everyone can know, and that we also can know, that we cannot prosecute Krishna consciousness without these qualities. This verse is a startling verse, and in one sense at least, and sometimes devotees are wonder about it, and that is, it's such a strong statement that if you become a devotee, all good qualities manifest in you, and if you're not a devotee, then even if you have different kinds of qualities, or rather not qualities, even if you have certain kind of expertise of a material sort, and mentioned here is practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining family and relatives, but you'll be, without being a devotee, you'll be driven by mental speculation and you'll be in Maya, the Lord's external energy. So how can there be any good qualities in such a person? Prabhupada was not afraid to preach on this unequivocal verse and other statements like that. But he would also raise the doubt that someone might have toward his statement. And he said, oh, you are saying that unless you're a devotee, you don't have any good qualities? What about so many scientists and humanitarian workers and so many professors have so many degrees? Are you? What about these persons who won the Nobel Prize and so on? And are you saying that because they're not a devotee of Krishna, that they have no good qualities? Yes, he said, we are saying that. That's what Krishna is saying. But it's a little hard to take unless you understand. Because sometimes we do see, we were talking about that the other day, how sometimes the non-devotee has certain qualities, and even those who are practicing Krishna consciousness don't seem to have them, like self-sacrifice, or friendliness, or kindness. It does seem that other people have these. So is this verse a very narrow-minded thing? Is this like a sectarian thing? So how to answer that question? One answer is that those who have these good qualities, that's part of their being a devotee. They're also a devotee of a kind. It's not that devotees only live in the ISKCON temple, but if we take a broader view of what is of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who are also believers in God or practicers of religious principles and have good qualities, so they are included here. They are devotees to some degree. The qualities are an indication of God consciousness, or Prabhupada used to call it sub-religious principles. It's a beginning of God consciousness. If one is very conscientiously truth-seeking and very sincere, but they have not yet come to understand God or have not come to meet the pure devotee. Even we have examples like the Kumaras or Sukadeva Goswami, very great sages and realized monists, realized the impersonal form of the Absolute. So they had many good qualities. And then when they understood more and more, they became more and more devotees. But another way to look at the manifestation of qualities in people who are not devotees. Oh, and what is a non-devotee? That we described the other day, a satsanga tyagi vaishnavachara. Someone who is very materialistic, especially for sex life and other materialistic activities, and is explicitly not a devotee of God. Both or one of those things are definitions of the non-devotee. So if a person like that manifests some qualities, then we would have to say that they are a kind of moral quality, but in themselves they don't have lasting value. Maybe they're developed out of some policy or motivation or mundane sense of goodness, but with some mixture of modes of nature. It is not a pure spiritual thing. It is not pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is one way to answer the question that apparently people who are not devotees do have good qualities. I would say then they are devotees. Or then we have to examine more and see whether they really do have good qualities or whether it's just a polished animalism just for the sake of living together for sense gratification. But another question is, what if we don't see these qualities in those who are devotees? And so this is sometimes seen by people. There was one example where one woman in the early 1970s, met some devotees in a parking lot distributing books, and she thought they were negative, and when she spoke with them. So she wrote a letter to Prabhupada. It was published in the Science of Self-Realization. She said the devotees were negative. They didn't seem to be very loving. So Prabhupada, he said, please forgive them. I acknowledge that the devotees may be in their neophyte stage, they're negative because they're trying to get away from Maya, Maya's embrace, and they haven't yet tasted the love of Krishna. So you're finding them negative. Please forgive them. And please know that in a developed Vaishnava, he is loving. But these devotees, they're not mature yet. However, don't just put them down. Try to appreciate that they're trying to do a very great thing, to give up illusion and to practice Krishna consciousness. So in other words, the devotee, he's only beginning, and he has so many past bad activities to deal with, so many anarthas. So it's not that automatically we see all the good qualities, or if we don't see the good qualities, we say, oh, this is not working, this verse is not true. I don't see all the qualities of the demigods in this devotee. I don't see all knowledge, I don't see all renunciation, I don't see these 26 qualities. But they are coming. Just now coming. He's doing the best thing he can to develop them. He's cleaning himself from the anarthas, and the symptoms are coming. It's a long path, and many things to be accomplished on the path. So this leads us to another point, which is that we will have to admit, therefore, that we're not Vaishnavas. If a Vaishnava has all these 26 qualities, and we don't, and our spiritual master says, please forgive them, they don't have all the qualities yet, then we should be a little cautious to say that we are Vaishnavas. A Vaishnava is something very extraordinary, very wonderful. So we may consider ourselves or aspire to be servants of the Vaishnavas. Remember, Prabhupada on one morning walk was in Boston, and one of the devotees praised him. I forget the words used, but he said, servant of God was used. And Prabhupada said, a higher term was used than that. And then Prabhupada said, I am a servant of God. And he said, or I'm trying to be. So we would be a servant of the servant of God. We'd be the servant of the Vaishnava. Therefore we say, Vaishnava das anudas. The devotee wants to be like that. Tandera, sevana, bhakti, sannivas. Janame janame he ayabhilas. I want to be the servant of the Vaishnavas. So when we think like this, then it's a different appreciation of what is a Vaishnava. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes many persons, like Sri Pandit Haridas is mentioned, but there are many other examples in which we see their qualities. For example, the quality of compassion giving of oneself and loving, respecting and honoring all living entities. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. For example, there was a person in Chaitanya Lila. He was a leper named Vasudev. And he was so Krishna conscious that in his leprosy, worms used to crawl in his skin, and so sometimes one would fall out of his body, and he would pick it up and put it back. Such non-violence or such humility and compassion. And And by that criteria also, we consider someone like Jesus Christ to be a Vaishnava. And many great personalities. There's another one was King Rantidev, who used to fast and or give whatever he had to any needy person who approached him. And his story was that he was fasting for 28 days, and then finally he was going to break his fast, and just when he was going to take his food, then some beggars came. And so first he gave a little bit to one, and then another came, and he gave him the rest, and that person had some dogs, so he gave the very last remnants to the dogs, and he had nothing after his, he couldn't even break his fast. So it turned out that those persons coming were demigods to test whether he was actually charitable to other living beings. And they were so pleased with him, they gave him any benediction he wanted. He said, I just wish that all living beings can be relieved of their karma and I may take their suffering. This is a Vaishnava, Naparadukaduki. He's happy, he's satisfied, but by chanting Hare Krishna, but he's unhappy that the people of the world are suffering. And Srila Prabhupada, by that criteria, he's a Vaishnava. So compassionate to leave Vrindavan. We heard him saying how dear Vrindavan is to the devotee, how wonderful it is, Krishna's private estate. But Prabhupada was living there, but he left there, landed first in Boston and then to New York City, because he wanted to give Krishna consciousness to others. And the Vaishnavas, they're very controlled. They're not disturbed. They're dhira. Another example is Bhishma Dev. On his deathbed, he was at such great inconvenience. His body was pierced with arrows, but he had calmness of mind. And in that state, that terrible state that he was in, Yudhisthira Maharaj approached him. He was in great mental distress about the war that had been fought for him to become king. And so he asked all complicated questions of philosophy, and Bhishma Dev was able to answer him. This was another example. Krishna likes to manifest these qualities through the devotees so that people will appreciate what is a Vaishnava. So he empowered Bhishma Dev like that, so that Bhishma Dev could show how a devotee's mind is always in order, even in a distressful condition. So Vaishnava is not just to join a club or something. It's to be very, very advanced devotee. And another example is the gopis. As Lord Chaitanya says, they're the highest example. Well, what did they do that they're so great? They're just some village girls who have a crush on Krishna. They're not great philosophers. No. As we read the other day, Uddhava was in such amazement because a devotee not only has very wonderful personal qualities, but they're all in relationship to Krishna. As we see in the 26 qualities, the most important is surrender to Krishna. And in the list, in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, the most important is the same one, fixed in Krishna. So the gopis were the most fixed in Krishna, that they were always in samadhi. It's called sahaj samadhi. The word sounds a little like sahajya, but the Sanskrit itself is not a bad word. Sahaja means natural, spontaneous. So prakriti sahajya is used in criticism of those who pretend to have a natural attraction. But the gopis actually had a samadhi that came naturally. Usually samadhi is the eighth stage in yoga, where step after step, by practicing the breath control, the sitting postures and drawing in the senses and so on, you reach the trance. And it depends on your being in that position. It depends on many factors. But the gopis, they were in samadhi when they were churning butter or when they were walking on the path to deliver the butter, or whatever they were doing, they were always able, not able, they were unable to do anything but think of Krishna. And think of Krishna in terms of trying to please him, how they could please him. The verse Prabhupada used to like to quote was that the gopis think of Krishna, that he's in the forest, and as he's running here and there in the forest, the thorns and the pebbles must hurt his feet. So thinking that Krishna must be hurting his feet, they become very anxious and they cry. They simply want Krishna to be happy. So this is the epitome of Vaishnava, to always be fixed in Krishna in a favorable way. Anyala bilasita sunyam jnana kamari anaritam anukulena Krishna nushilan bhakti arutama. We're in a position, therefore, of worshipping Vaishnavas and trying to serve Vaishnavas, or hear about them, and by following Mahajaniyena Gatasapanta, we may develop these qualities. So this is the meaning of the verse. All the demigods and their qualities become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Lord. But a person who does not have devotional service, but is in materialistic activities, they have no good qualities. They're on the chariot of the mind, or mental speculation. All right, are there any questions or comments? Yes? So that's the most important quality. Yeah.
But I was confused when I read that, thinking, well, then, does that mean, and actually I mentioned it to a couple other people, and they all kind of responded the same way, does that mean that a person can remain arrogant but have a destiny of hearing and chanting? But it seemed like today you were saying, these will come gradually.
Yeah. And that vision to see that someone is actually free of sin because they're chanting Hare Krishna, even though it appears that they're acting arrogantly or sinfully, that's a Mahabhagavat vision, to see that that such a person is now free from sin. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mamamanyavak. That if a person is resolved to surrender to Krishna, then even if they still have some bad habits, they should not be seen any less of a devotee. But